Yes, making pies inside the lilac bush. It was a great fun time. Mud pies. And like I did today, I borrowed one of Rebecca's glass pie pans. I'm sure we snuck them out of Mom's kitchen and made mud pies in them. They were probably tin, metal, or something. But it was great fun making mud pies and putting the lilacs on top. And yes, I had to learn that we could not throw them into each other's faces. But I loved making mud pies. I loved putting the pawpaws in them that I wasn't allowed to eat because of our family tradition, in case you couldn't hear me in the children's moment, that my father had a 13-year-old brother die, and they declared it was from eating raw pawpaws, and so we were never allowed to eat them. So when I go find pawpaws today and bring them to my father, he will not eat them, even though I know they're perfect and ripe for it. But I've been around mud before, and I expect you have your own memory, pleasant or despicable, about mud, this earthly substance. Of course, this week as we talk of mud, our minds venture to the tragedy in the state of Washington as we await the total number whose lives were lost in the great mudslide. A poet once declared, "Till the stormy night is gone, we await the eternal morrow dawn." And we await and we pray. Today, as we read and hear the word of the gospel of Jesus, we are reminded that Jesus, the earthly and heavenly God that we worship on earth, was a mud maker. For a wonderful cause. He took his own spit and shaped the dirt into mud. Yes, the traditional and truth-telling focus of this gospel story focuses upon the man born blind. It was the mud that Jesus wiped across his eyes. Before going there, before worshiping the mud maker, I invite you to go with me to the doubting and questioning of the mud maker. He was a simple man. Jesus had not come from one of the families that had risen under the Roman dominance to be wealthy priests or the Jewish elite. His parents were not Pharisees or Sadducees or part of the Sanhedrin who did their best to satisfy the Roman rulers. Daily, they sacrificed a bull and at least one sheep, if not two sheep, to declare Caesar as God. They utilized the temple to make more money, more income for Rome than any other Roman territory. Jesus was not of that part of the Jewish Roman world. He was among those whose families had lost their property, their farmland, their small business, such as carpentry, to become peasants who were now employees of those who accepted the Roman way. One could say he was a carpenter. I take a detour here to lift up the once popular song, "If I Were a Carpenter," and let's reflect upon some of its concerns. "If I Were a Carpenter," first of all, was written initially by Tim Hardin, and then it was sung by Bobby Darin, and then the Four Tops, and then Johnny Cash, and I heard a Willie Nelson version. Let me read this Tom Hardin original version for you. "If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? If a tinker were my trade, would you still find me carrying the pots I'd made, following behind me? Save my love through loneliness. Save my love for sorrows. I've given you my onlyness. Give me your tomorrow. If I worked my hands in wood, would you still love me? Answer me, babe. Say yes. Yes, I would. I'd put you above me. If I were a miller, at a mill wheel grinding, would you miss your colored blouse, your soft shoe shining? If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? Would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? I want us to pause, if we have it ready, and let's listen to the version that Johnny Cash and June Carter sang.
Would you have my baby?
If you were a carpenter and I were a lady, I'd marry you anyway. I'd have your baby.
If a tinker was my trade, would I still find you?
I'd be carrying the pot you made, following behind you.
Save your love through loneliness, save your love through sorrow. I gave you my onlyness, give me your tomorrow. If I were a miller and a mill wheel grinding, would you miss your colored blouse and your soft shoes shining?
If you were a miller and a mill wheel grinding, I'd not miss my colored blouse and my soft shoes shining.
Save your love through loneliness, save your love through sorrow. I gave you my onlyness, give me your tomorrow. If I worked my hands in wood, would you still love me?
I'd answer you, yes I would.
And would you not be above me? If I were a carpenter and you were a lady,
I'd marry you anyway. I'd have your baby.
Save your love through loneliness, save your love through sorrow. I gave you my onlyness, give me your tomorrow.
I hope we've taken you back to when you've heard that song. I recall the years that I sang that song while driving to and from the wood shop. The shop opened at 7 in the morning, and the song would come to my mind. I had already been so committed to my high school sweetheart, now that we had graduated and preparing to enter college. We both worked. For me, it was spending 8 or 10 or 12 hours in the wood shop, straightening boards and running them through the jointer or the planer and having the sawdust fly into my face. For her, she worked at Revco, which is now CVS, as a clerk. As time passed and I was ready to be a pastor, and I often sang that song, and I became a minister for Jesus Christ, I would never forget being the one who worked my hands in wood. Yes, while being so appreciative that my high school sweetheart was with me, I wanted to be sure that, like Jesus, I would never forget those whose wheel was still grinding, or that a tinker was still their trade. Most interesting, today that my sons, who I named Micah and Daniel, saying that they needed to be prophets, that was their calling, maybe a professor teaching the gospel or teaching the prophet message. No, they enter into a trade. They dig ditches and they're pipe fitters. And that I, in my lobbying work, have returned today to working with and for those people in the construction trades. So today, I wore my shirt given to me from the pipe fitters this year when I was meeting them and training them at the legislature. I had many gifts like that. It tells me that I still care for those people. There's carpenters, millwrights, and on and on. You know, today we're looking at three movies and talking about them in our society. Maybe you are the Son of God, and then, of course, Noah. But this weekend, the one that I want to see them all, but I cannot wait to see Cesar Chavez. Yes, he was a very holy man and one of the Roman Catholics that so inspired me. But when I had gone to college, there it was, the message. You've got to boycott grapes. And Cesar Chavez was teaching that message that was going around the country. And so we listened to those who came and talked about how to support the United Farm Workers and why we needed to support them and let them become a union so that we could start caring for those workers who picked our fruits and to protect them. I remember being on an airplane going to the Holy Land my first time, and they served us grapes. And I asked the question, are these grapes from the United Farm Workers? And the stewardess looked at me and said, what are you talking about? And so it became something that kind of spread throughout everybody on the plane that guy over there is boycotting grapes. When I went to seminary, I carried that message with me, and part of the reason I went to Texas to seminary was to work with United Farm Workers. And there we did it. I spent many a day demonstrating and picketing before the grocery stores, not about grapes at that time, but about lettuce. Let us make sure we take the chemicals off the lettuce that's so dangerous and support our workers who feed us. In my work today as a clergy, or in just recent years, I've worked with those who went digging into the mines, worked all day, came out at night with their faces and their hands black and dust in their lungs. We need to know that Jesus was such a person. He was, as it says in the Greek, a tektron, or a peasant worker, perhaps a carpenter, that is so popular in our language use of that term, or a stonemason. For him to reach into the dirt and spit to make mud was part of who he was. He was with the people. He knew the family challenges of the peasant families. He knew that what it meant to have someone born blind or with other physical or mental problems. He knew experientially what it meant for a person to be removed from their family because their illness was leprosy. He knew that healing a person was far more important than obeying the old outmoded Hebrew rule not to work on the Sabbath. For Jesus, healing the blind man went way beyond his compassion for that one individual. It meant being the light of the world for so many with so many different needs and circumstances. Yet within those different circumstances, so many people live within the same challenge. They faced a faith that had gone astray from the love of God. They faced a daily life that cared not about their way of life, except in that it was a life to serve those who were in power with dominion. Perhaps that's how the tent maker came to follow Jesus. While he was a Pharisee, Saul, who became Paul, saw the light. His Ephesians passage on light is awesome that Carol read today. For once he was in darkness, but now with Jesus he was the light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. For find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what people who see false power do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, arise from your dead. And as this is my adapted version for this sermon, the mud-making Messiah will shine on you. With that said, today, I have given an updated version of If I Were a Carpenter. And we have it on the screen. It goes something like this. If I saw Jesus and he came upon me, would I follow him anyway? Would I put him above me? If he put his hands in mud and rubbed it on a blind beggar, would I believe him to be a healer? Would he be my savior? Savior love for loneliness. Savior love for sorrow. I gave you my onlyness. Give me faith for tomorrow. If he challenged the government and marched for real justice, turning over the money changers, would I worship the mud maker? Savior love for loneliness. Savior love for sorrow. I gave you my onlyness. Give me faith the morrow. I sing my love to Jesus and all the people surrounding. Will I follow him anyway, regardless of the pounding? Will I follow him anyway, regardless of the pounding? Save your love for loneliness. Save your love for sorrow. I gave you my onlyness. Give me faith for tomorrow. Give me faith for the morrow. Amen.